Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Good to see you. How about them Gators? 10-1. Come on, don't complain. 10-1. It's all right. Here's my advice. Don't watch the game. Just look at the score at the end, and you'll be excited. Just save yourself a lot of trouble and agony. Just look at the score. All right, we won it. And just make believe it was a great game. Score is what counts. All right, before we get into our message, two little things I wanted to talk about. One that we introduced last week, which was a heart for the house. And this is an opportunity for us, each as individuals, to invest in your house of worship, some needs we have in children's church, in pre-K ministry, and nursery, and facilities wants to fix up the front. Music group needs some equipment. So we gave that to you. Here's some the next slide on what the needs are, the amounts. And what I've asked everybody to do is just pray. I mean, kind of give it a breakdown for guidelines, and you know, maybe 87 might be too much for some people, and the highest amount might be too little for some people. Just pray, ask God, and what I'm believing for is that this is over and above our regular tithes and offerings, investing back into what we do as a church, which is win souls, make disciples. That's what we do. That's what we love doing, and that's what you're investing in, and a lot of it's going to the little people. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist D.L. Moody, just before he died, he said if he could live his life over again, he would minister only to children. That's how powerful he saw children's ministry. So we're investing with some new curriculum, some resources, equipment, stuff that they need, and I think it's going to pay eternal dividends. So I believe, you know, if you pray that it won't be equal giving for every one of us, but it could be equal sacrifice. And that would be a different amount for every one of us. But I think the same amount that the Holy Spirit is telling us, you know, percentage-wise. So we just ask you to pray about that. Pray and obey. We introduced it last week. We want to take that offering up December 6th, which is 2 weeks from today. Now, if you can't get it in by the 6th, we'd like to have it all in by the end of the year. But we need to order some of this curriculum to have it here by January 1st. So we're looking toward the goal is December 6th, and then we can announce what we did that night at the Christmas party. All right, everybody on board with that? Excited about that? I also just want to remind you that we have a group of people from Victory Church right now in Haiti. They arrived yesterday. Keep them in your prayers. Every time they go, they have like a little bit of a different mission. They want to leave something behind. Their goal is not to have the Haitians dependent on them, but to help them be self-sufficient. So they've, over the years, built a school, an orphanage. They work with a church. The last couple trips, they built a bathroom, got them running water. This time, they're teaching them to plant crops. They brought a couple tillers over. They brought some water tanks for irrigation, and they're going to teach them how to grow their own food. So let's just pray for them real quick right now. Can we do that, Lord? We thank you for those that sacrificed this Thanksgiving week to be in Haiti. We pray for protection. Nobody will get sick. Nobody will get hurt. We ask you to open doors no man can shut. Give them opportunities to minister, protection, and blessing. Let them be a blessing and leave a blessing behind in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, let's get into our new series called If Only. If you need notes, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you some notes. The title of this message is Scrambled Eggs, and you'll understand what that means in a little bit. How many of you have ever made a mistake? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever made a mistake? All right. Some of you did not raise your hand. That was a mistake. So now you've made a mistake. So let's try it again. How many have made a mistake? Okay, now we got everybody. Everybody's made a mistake. And I want you to note if somebody around you didn't raise their hand, you better watch out because I don't know, you know, I don't know if we can trust those people. And we'll pray for them after the service. We've all made mistakes, and what happens is mistakes can be messy. They can leave a mess behind. In fact, mistakes can leave wounds, and the devil likes to rehash your mistakes over and over and over. God likes to take your mistakes and use them for stepping stones to greatness. I want to talk about turning your past into a powerful force for your future today. This service is about turning the pain of the past into progress for the future. Now, here's what I want to state to you this morning, which should help you and should bring relief to you, is this, that you have to make mistakes. You have to make mistakes. That's the way God creates it, with free will, knowing full and well when he created Adam and Eve and gave an opportunity. He didn't want robots. He didn't want them to not have volition, free will, the ability to choose good and evil. So they had to be able to choose evil. He knew they were going to mess up. He knew that. God is not totally blown away by your mistakes. Now, obviously, we want to get better in our lives and not make the same mistakes we've made in the past. But it is unreal to think that you're going to live a life without mistakes. And the devil will take the mistakes of the past and try to just beat you over the head with those mistakes. And I want everybody to leave this building free from your mistakes of the past and to turn those mistakes into something powerful for your future. Because you know what? Mistakes are a part of life. They're a part of life. They're going to happen. God knew they're going to happen. They are going to happen. If you never made a mistake, you would be an extremely arrogant person. Just think, if you were the person that, you know, at this stage of your life, wherever you're at, and you said, if you've never made a mistake, wouldn't that be like weird? That's crazy. You'd be impossible to live with, impossible to deal with. You would by nature be unteachable. And see, God built that into us so that we're teachable, because we know we make mistakes and we know that we need help. Look at this verse, Romans 8:28. Here's what God looks at: this whole situation of the mistakes of the past. They shouldn't hold you back. They should be a stepping stone, a launching point for the future progress. Romans 8:28. Love this verse. And we know that in all things God. Now, I just want you to know, I did some extra homework this week, and I dug deep into the Greek, and I found the literal meaning. I studied it out hermeneutically, exegetically, homiletically, theologically, philosophically, and I found out the real meaning of that word in the Greek. Do you know what it is? Oh, man, you guys are ahead of me. You're better than me. You should be up here. All, that means, it literally means all. Circle that and underline it in your Bible, because, and now look at this. We know that in how many?
All.
Now you remember that when the devil tells you, but, no, you come back to this word, all. We know that in all things God works for the good. Yeah. He didn't cause all things to happen. He didn't make us make mistakes. But he knew we would make mistakes, and he prepared ahead of time to be able to redeem that mistake, turn it around for good. Yep, he knew it. It's okay. Works for good of those who love him. So that's the key. Those who have been called according to his purpose. That's why we have Growth Track next Sunday, once a month on a Sunday night, to discover your gifting, how you were uniquely made, because that reveals your divine design and what you're supposed to be doing. Called according to his, you need to be doing what you were created to do. Called according to his purpose. So, we make mistakes. Mistakes make a mess. But the mess leads to something called regret. So sometimes we feel like the mistakes of the past have scrambled our eggs. My dad used to say you can't unscramble eggs. You know what I'm talking about? How many like scrambled eggs? They're okay. I'd rather have over easy. How many like over easy? That's the way to eat eggs, I think. You know, the little butter, nice, big thick slice of butter, stick it in there, melt it, put that in there, flip it over. Come on, can I get a witness? Over easy. I can eat scrambled eggs. You know, you need to throw a little cheese in. That's the advantage. It's cheese, some onions, cut up a pepper, some good stuff in there, some mushrooms. Come on, Steve Duke, you know it. You can't live on candy all your life. You got to eat some real stuff here. Scrambled eggs. But the thing about, like, if you put 4 or 5 eggs, you crack them and you put them in a dish, you could separate them. Not after you scramble them, right? Once they're scrambled, you don't know what's in there. I mean, you can't really even tell those are, I mean, they just, it all runs. You can't, that's the saying, you can't unscramble eggs, right? But God can. So what I want to talk to you about is that fact that we make mistakes. Mistakes make a mess. It leads to regret. And we feel like our eggs are scrambled. We can't undo what has happened in the past. We can't pull that egg back out of there because it's scrambled. It's a mess and it can't be undone. But I want to show you today, we're going to look at some scriptures. God can unscramble your mess and put you back on a path to where you're supposed to be. God doesn't want us to live in a perpetual state of regret. The devil does. The devil wants you to live in a perpetual state of regret. You know what happens when you get into that perpetual state of regret? Because of looking back at the past, and the devil reminds you of the past, it is depressing. It is discouraging. It saps you of your strength and biologically and physiologically actually weakens you, makes you susceptible to disease, lowers your immune system. Bad things happen to you when you live in a perpetual state of regret. Now, a sure sign of a perpetual state of regret is if-only statements. So here are some samples. If you've made these, if you've thought these, you might be living in a perpetual state of regret. Here's one right here. If only I would have spent more time with you fill in the blank. Have you ever said that? Oh, missed that opportunity. It's gone. Oh, I wish I could go back. If only I would have spent more time with grandma, grandpa, dad, mom, my child, my son, daughter, something. Huh? Yeah. Anybody ever thought that? How about this one? If only I could find the right one, then everything would be fine. Listen, I want to tell you, the only one who should ever complete you is Jesus Christ. Anything else is idolatry. How about this one? If only I would have not worked so much. I've had a lot of men tell me that toward the end of their life. I wish I could go back. I wish I could relive my life. If only I wouldn't have made my career such a high priority. If only I wouldn't have worked so much. How about this one? If only I would not have treated that person like that. Have you ever regretted the way you treated somebody? I remember when I was 16 years old, my dad sent me to Miami in his Ford Galaxy 500 with the 392 cubic inch, 300 horsepower engine. That's not a good, but he had to get something to Miami right away, and I just got my license, and I had my friend Chip Irons with me, and we literally flew down to Miami. I remember I dropped off the package I had to take to the ice cream plant, and then we went. I remember we were in the parking lot of Publix in Westchester, 87th Avenue and 24th Street there, and I was going, and I'm just, you know how when you're 16, and I just got my license, you know, I thought I knew everything. I mean, I thought I was the best driver in the world. So I'm driving, I remember driving through the parking lot with my friend Chip, okay, he's 16 too, and he hadn't got his license yet, and I'm, you know, you feel just like, man, I'm just showing off. I'm really cool, and I got 300 horsepower. I'm going through the parking lot. You know how the parking lots, you park in one direction, they have an arrow, and there's a car coming the other way. Oh, man, I let that lady have it. I'm right. She's wrong. I'm 16. I know how to drive. She's coming the other way. She's going the wrong way. I remember rolling down my window and just shaking my fist and letting her know how dumb she was, and I got right up alongside of her, and I realized it's this little old lady with gray hair, and she starts crying. She says, I'm so sorry. God. You know what I felt like? I still remember that. I mean, I just, you know, like looked at my friend Chip like, you better not say nothing, man. I mean, I felt like such a creep. That little old lady, she was just lost. I let her have it, man. I wish I hadn't have done that. There's things I said to my dad and to my mom and to my family. I wish I hadn't have done that. Don't we all have a long list of I wish I hadn't treated somebody like that? How about this? If only I would have known before I made that decision. Yeah. Anybody got any decisions you wish you could take back? Yes. How about if only I had not, and then you just fill in the blank. Everybody's got something. You can just write it in. Don't let your neighbor see what it is. Maybe write it in hieroglyphics code or something. Nobody can read it. You know what you said. If only I had not. Do you live? If you filled in any of these blanks, you might live in the land of the regret. And the devil says you deserve it. You need to stay in the land of regret. And you might be thinking, well, one day I'm going to get out. And the devil says, yeah, but not today. You need to suffer one more day. Uh-huh. One more day. You just need to think about it, you know. You just need to wallow in it. Just one, that's the way he is. One more day living in the land of regret. But look, I want you to jot this statement down right here. Regret robs you of grace. Grace is the favor of God, the unmerited favor of God, God's influence acting in man to make him pure and morally strong. You need grace. You need grace extended in your life. But regret will always defeat grace in your life. You will not be a candidate. You will not be able to receive that divine favor, that divine blessing when you live in the land of regret. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I believe somebody's going to leave this building free from something that you brought in here, that somebody's going to get free from regret today. Regret is a constant feeling of loss. There's a guy in the Bible that you might remember his name who was kind of famous for doing and saying stuff that he later regretted. His name is Peter. He lived with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. And look, in Mark chapter 14, 72, gives us a little insight. You know the story. Peter lived with Jesus, walked with him for 3.5 years, ministered, learned. He made a lot of impetuous statements that Jesus would have to correct. In fact, one time Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan. I mean, he was so prone to making mistakes. And then at the end of the ministry period, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. You remember Peter so boldly said, I'll never leave you. I won't deny you. They all can leave. Not me. Not me. And you remember the story. You know what happened? He denied him 3 times to the point of he even cursed out of his mouth and said, I don't even know that guy. Wow, can you imagine what he was feeling? That feeling of regret. And pick up the story there in Romans 14, 72. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him before the rooster crows twice. You'll disown me 3 times. And what happened to Peter? Broke down. He broke down and wept. Can you feel? You know, all of a sudden it hit him. I said I wouldn't do it. I said I wouldn't fail. Have you ever thought, I'm never going to fail God. I'm never going to let him down. And then sometimes we look back and we see that we did. We made mistakes. Now pick the story up in John chapter 21. After his death, burial, resurrection, Jesus comes and finds Peter. After this event, after Peter wept, remember when Jesus met him? He said, leave your boat. He was a fisherman. He said, leave your boat. I'm going to teach you a new occupation. I'm going to make you a soul winner, a fisher of men. This is what you're supposed to do. Where does he find him? After Jesus has been in the grave for 3 days, rises from the dead, and he comes out and he finds Peter where? Out doing what he told him to do, win souls? No, what has he done? Gone back to what's comfortable. He's gone back to where he came from. He lost his calling. He lost his vision. Because why? He's living in the land of regret. There's people today in this room. You're not doing what God called you to do because you're living in the past. You're living in the land of regret. He finds him in the boat. Now look at it. Here's this conversation. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, John 21, 7, said to Peter, it's the Lord. They're in the boat, and Jesus calls to them, and he's talking to John, the disciple who Jesus loved, John. That's what John calls himself. It's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped himself in his outer garment, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. He's pretty impetuous, right? They could have rowed the boat back, you know. No, he's going to jump in. He's going to swim. And then they have this conversation, and we pick it up 10 verses later, because I think you all are pretty familiar with it. Jesus keeps talking to Peter. He wants to get him out of the land of regret and get him back on his mission and back on mission. And here's the third time. Look, and he says, the third time Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He's already answered twice. Peter's getting a little upset. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. But remember, he denied him 3 times. He wanted to reinforce it. He wanted to sink it down. He wanted him to say it. He knew he had to say it until he broke that hold of regret off of his life. Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said the third time, feed my sheep. You're not a fisherman anymore. I know that's comfortable. I know you know how to catch fish. And it's fun to catch fish. But that's not what I called you to do. I told you I'm going to make you fishermen. Get back on track. Some of you today, you need to get back on track. You know in your heart what you've been called to do. And it's not what you're doing. It's not what you're doing now. Maybe that's part of it, but you're not doing everything God called you to do. And the devil tries to use the mistakes of the past to keep you from the future of what God has called for you. And therein lies fulfillment, when you're doing what God called you to do. Not just being busy, but when you're doing what you were created to do, what you're gifted to do, what he put on the inside of you when he formed you in your mother's womb, when you're fulfilling your destiny, you're content. And he knew Peter would never be happy again the rest of his life fishing. He would only be happy fulfilling his divine call. But regret sent him into the fishing boat. And some of us need to get free from the land of regret and get into the land of the now and the land of the possible and what God can do through us. Regret will always detour you from your calling. It will always take you on a detour. And it's not like one of those detours where, you know, there's a wreck on I-75 and you take 441 and you get back on. It's a perpetual detour that the devil has set up, designed for you to never get back on the track. It's time to get off of that detour and get back on track. I found out that God's the God of the eternal now. And wherever where you're at, no matter how far you've strayed off the path, he has a path today to get you back on track. He has a way of doing that. He always has a plan for today. Regret will always detour you from your calling. The devil will say, you're not able, you're not worthy, you're not qualified. Anybody ever heard these thoughts before? You're not deserving. You're not good enough. You've messed up too bad. You're not. There's a whole long list. He's just going to keep telling you you're not. You don't need to listen to the devil. Go to the Word. Surround yourself with some Christian friends who will encourage you. Go to a church that tells you that you can be all that God created you to be. Get on the right path. Jesus says, don't live in regret. What he told his disciples, just take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Come on, don't live in the past. Finish your race. Finish your race. You have your own race. Fulfill your calling. Be about the Father's business. God has a plan for you. Everybody sitting in this room right now, there's a plan. That's amazing. But think about God. He is the master architect. Look how the universe works. Look how the earth works. He set it up perfectly. You know, if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, it couldn't support life. If we were a little bit further away from the sun, couldn't support life. If the earth rotated a little bit faster, couldn't support life. A little bit slower, couldn't support life. Everything's designed perfectly. You're no accident. You think he cares more about stars than he cares about you? The Bible says he formed you in your mother's womb. He placed within you everything you need to be a success. But you're going to be a success at what he called you to be, not what just whatever you want to be. We shouldn't tell our children you can be whatever you want to be. We say, well, you could be whatever you want to be, but the best thing for you is to be what God called you to be. So you better find out what God designed you to be. Yes, Noah Webster, I believe, was the best educator America ever knew. And he said, children should be taught to answer three questions before they answer anything else. Who made me? Why was I made, and what is my responsibility? Those are the things we ought to grapple with. What's my calling? What's my responsibility? Why was I made? Because he made you. Why? There's a specific reason why he made you. What is your responsibility is to fulfill that divine design, to discover it. Again, that's what Growth Track tries to do, is not tell you, but to ask questions, to give you a spiritual gifts assessment so you can say, oh, that's why I think that way. That's why I can. Oh, that's why I can do that. God made you for a specific purpose. He has a plan for you, but the devil has a plan, and it's any plan but God's plan. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Now, we've made mistakes, right? But there's a way to deal with your mistakes, and there's a way not to deal with your mistakes. Then he gives the contrast and leaves no regret. If you deal with your mistakes the right way, there won't be any regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. That regret will lead you to death. Death of the vision. Death of the purpose. Inner death. Emotional death. Spiritual death. Even sometimes physical death will come when you're not doing what you're created to do. And it happens because of regret. But if you look at regret with a spiritual perspective, which we're going to look at right now, how to deal with the past the right way, you can move forward and not continue to go backwards. So, man cannot unscramble eggs, but God can. Now, here's how to unscramble your eggs. I got four things for you. Number one, really receive God's forgiveness. You say, that's kind of silly. Well, look at this. Here's what, I'm taking that from Jesus, because look what he said in John 14:7. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him in heaven. If you really could see, sometimes you can think you receive forgiveness, but that first one, go back to if you don't mind going backwards, really receive God's forgiveness. I mean, like everybody would say, yeah, I know I'm forgiven. But not if you're dealing in regret. You haven't really received and applied the forgiveness that you need to apply to that area. You're still carrying it around. You haven't really, really, really received forgiveness. Maybe theoretically, maybe it's like, I know that. We all know that. Yeah, Jesus went to the cross. Yeah, I know that. But listen, if you're carrying the pain from the past, you haven't really received forgiveness. Now the next verse, Psalm 103:3 says, I love this, David speaking to his soul, trying to encourage him, and he said, he's telling himself what God does, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. He forgives, yeah, that's what he does. He forgives all. And you know what? I looked up that word in the Hebrew, because and I dug it down in the Hebrew. Do you know what that literally means? Hermeneutically, exegetically, homiletically, philosophically, and theologically, what it means in the Hebrew? Only three people know what it means? Everybody, okay, man. All your sins and heals all your diseases. Micah 7, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Doesn't delight in our sin, but look, he does delight to show mercy where we fail, he loves. That's what you think about. Okay, I messed up. You know what? God delights to show mercy. So what I'd like you to do is empty your head and your hands of all regret and receive forgiveness once and for all. I'm hoping that today you will empty your head and your hands of all the regret that you walked into this building with and be done with it once and for all. Number two, eliminate the if-only thoughts that we talked about earlier. You've got to eliminate. You can't keep going back. If only I had, if only I hadn't have made that decision. If only I hadn't have done this. If only I hadn't have treated that. No, you just got to be done with it. You can't change the past. You can't go back. You can't go back. Those thoughts are totally unproductive. In fact, they are counterproductive. And it's like driving in the rearview mirror. You don't drive very well in the rearview. That's the way some of us are living our life. When your thoughts are filled with, if only, you're driving in the rearview mirror and you're going to hit something. You're going to make a mess of your car, your life, somebody else's car, somebody else's life. You see what I'm talking about? My sister, she borrowed my car. I don't know if you know, my sister used to be a magician. One day she turned my car into a telephone pole. You can't drive in the rear. Somebody get that at lunch. You can't drive in the rear view mirror. Don't tolerate if only statements. Eliminate them from your thought pattern. Here's 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the Message says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Watch out for those loose thoughts. Turn your wounds into scars. See, I have a bunch of scars. I won't go show you all of them or any of them right now, but they are only remnants of wounds. Now, when you got a wound, it's different. A couple weeks ago, I cut my thumb. While it was a wound, I couldn't, ooh, ow. You need to turn your wounds into scars. Once it's a scar, I can use it now. And it's only, oh, yeah, I did that. Yeah, but I don't think about that. But you think about your wounds. If you've got an active wound, you've got to be very careful. So some of you, because of the mistakes of the past, there's still a wound because the devil just keeps poking it, poking it, poking it, poking it, and you keep helping him and keep digging it up and keep rehashing it, and it's an active wound. You need to put it to bed. You need to let it just become a scar. Yeah, it happened, but it's not affecting me anymore. I'm moving on. Turn your wounds into scars. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. He's talking about what God called him to do. I haven't got there yet. He said, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Let me tell you right there, he had a lot of past to deal with. Paul, he used to be called Saul, you remember? And he He killed Christians, men, women, and children. Threw them in the prison, had them tortured, had them killed, had them killed. Do you think he had some stuff to deal with? When Jesus appears to him and says, "You're persecuting me," he says, "Who are you? You're persecuting me." What? Yeah, he changes his life. You think that was hard now? Being a Christ follower after I've had people, your followers, killed? You think? And here's his secret to success. Here's what he said to do. I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff to deal with. He says, "I focus on one thing, forgetting the past." Yeah. Some of you just need to forget the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What things lie ahead that you can't see because you're still living in the rearview mirror? Paul said, "I let him go. I forgot about it. I'm not rehashing that. I'm not living that. I'm going forward. I'm driving the car in the way I'm supposed to go, asking God every day what I'm supposed to be doing. It's done. It's dealt with. I apply the mercy of God to that." He knew I was going to make mistakes. It didn't surprise him when I made a mistake. He made us with the capacity to make mistakes, and he allowed for that. He set the process in motion as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. He said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head." He already sent Jesus to the cross to take care of our mistakes. It's dealt with. It's done. Deal with it. Bury it. Don't remember it anymore. Look forward to what lies ahead. Number three, how to get the victory over this. Turn regret into motivation. Turn the regret into something positive. Turn it into motivation. 2 Corinthians 1:7 says, "We're confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives." Yeah, there's comfort. Comfort will come on top of your regret. Turn your worst day into your best weapon. Amen? Amen. Turn your worst day. Ask God to turn it around. I don't know how many times I've cried out to God and said, "Turn it around, Lord. What I'm facing, what I'm seeing, what it looks like, turn it around. Just turn it around for me, Lord. Turn it around." I've cried that out. I've sung that. I've prayed that so many times. Turn it around. Somebody just need to turn what you're facing into a prayer. Say, "Turn it around, Lord." God is the God of the great turnaround. He can turn around whatever you've messed up, wherever it's headed, whatever's gone wrong. He can turn it around. I guarantee you, I promise you, God can turn it around for his glory. I'm thinking about the day in September 2008 when Tim Tebow was quarterback for the Gators. Anybody remember? What a precious man of God when he was here in Gainesville. There were so many great testimonies of his love and just his commitment to Christ. But there was in the 2008 season, something happened. They were destined for greatness. They had a great team. In 2006, they won the championship. 2007, they missed it. 2008, Tim Tebow's the star quarterback, and there's great visions of happiness for the Gators. And along about the third or fourth game, I don't know if you remember this, the number four ranked Gators, they're number four in the nation. They're playing Ole Miss, who's not even ranked, and they lost to Ole Miss 31-30. And they did an interview after the game. Anybody remember that? That was stunning, a stunning loss. And after the game, you know how they interview the players, and Tim Tebow got up and he said a few things. And he walked off and then he came back. Everybody's like, what? He came back and he got up and he said this. His words have become immortalized in the stadium. This promise is in the locker room, the Gator locker room today. He made this promise. He said this to the fans and everybody in the Gator Nation. "I'm sorry. I'm extremely sorry. We were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal. Something Florida has never done here. I promise you one thing. A lot of good will come out of this. You will never see any player in the entire country play as hard as I will. As I will play the rest of the season. You'll never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season. You will never see a team play harder than we will the rest of the season. God bless." He took that regret. He took that pain. He turned it into motivation. The next 10 games, they won. From that moment, they never lost a game the rest of that season. They won the SEC championship, and they won the national championship. That speech, that he turned the pain that maybe they needed to make that mistake. Maybe they'd have got complacent if it just kept going along. Maybe they'd have become that arrogant. Yeah, we can't lose. No, they knew they could lose, and he turned it around for their good. And you've made mistakes, and you say, I know I can make mistakes, but I'm going to turn it around for good. I'm going to become all that God created me to be. Turn the pain of regret into motivation. Do you believe God can do that? Did you know God's a miracle-working God? A lot of times we think God can do miracles. He can part the Red Sea. Yeah, he can do all kinds of things. But when it comes to us, no, he can't do that. Yeah, he can do it for you too. Our God's a miracle-working God. And I believe he wants to do something amazing in your life if we could just believe it and just receive it. What we need to do is make our mess available to God. You know what? He can already see behind the curtain. You remember the Wizard of Oz? They couldn't see until the dog pulled the curtain. They couldn't see behind the curtain. It was hiding. Sometimes we put up curtains in our life, and we think God can't see. But you know what? He's been there all along. He sees everything. Might as well just pull back the curtain and just get honest. Say, go ahead, God. Just look. Just bring it to God. He can already see behind the curtain. And number four, let God, and I left it blank, you fill it in. Let God, what is it that God will speak to you today and say, let God write in there, write it in there. You don't have to show it to anybody. Just let it motivate yourself and take this home. Is there an area of your life that you need to let God? Look at this, Psalm 145. The Lord is good to everyone. That includes you. The devil will tell you, no, that's everybody but you. But the scripture says everyone. He showers compassion on all of his creation. Lamentations chapter 3 said, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Look, if we just stood up and started telling our mistakes, you know what? Everybody, we've all got a long list of mistakes. We don't want to share them. We don't want to tell everybody everything we've done. God already sees behind the curtain. He already knows. But look at this scripture. Because of the Lord's great love, you are not consumed. You're alive today because you're not consumed. His compassions never fail. You haven't out-sinned the grace of God. You haven't out-mistaked the grace of God, the power of God. Use your mistake for a motivation to go forward. What do you need to bring to God today? Let's just think about that for a minute. You and I may fail, and we have. But God's compassions never fail, never fail. No, he's never failed. The only one who's never made a mistake is God. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't make any mistakes? But he doesn't expect us to not make mistakes. He expects us to come to him who's never made a mistake and receive grace, grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's believing and accepting it. Not by being perfect. You're not saved by being perfect. You're saved by grace, accepting forgiveness. Just bow your heads and just think, I'm done. I need you to take it from here. I need you to think about what you need to apply grace to this morning. What do you need to bring to God? What mess do you need him to unscramble? What wound do you need to bury and let it become a scar? What regret still haunting you? Some of you, you got a regret goes back 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, way back. Still carrying that regret. It's time to bury that. It's time to bury that. It might have just been yesterday. It's time to bury it. Yep. No, you don't need to carry it. The devil says, oh, no, you haven't suffered enough. No, Jesus says, just bring it to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll give rest to your souls. Lord, I just pray for souls right now. I pray for the souls that are burdened. They're carrying weights of the past. They're just a yoke, heaviness on their emotions. They believe they've made a mistake and they regret it. There's people carrying regret. I break that spirit of regret right now in Jesus' name. Be gone off of God's people. Let it just become a motivation for greatness. You have great things for every person in this room. Not a life of regret. No, 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 no. That's the devil talking to you. Get rid of that regret. Turn it into motivation for greatness. You're a champion. You just got to move forward. Let that regret go. Let that past go. Just bury it. It's done. You can't change that. You can change your future. Don't live life looking in the rearview mirror. Start looking ahead, looking forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting people free, for breaking these yokes, breaking that regret, changing lives right now. Thank you, Jesus. You might be here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be here today. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you haven't really taken that step of faith. Maybe you go to church. Maybe, like me, went to church for 20 years. I wasn't a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You say, well, what makes you a Christian? Somebody asked Jesus that. Here's what he said. He said, you got to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. That's it. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He just asks you to come to him. Maybe you've never done that. If I said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You're here today. You go, I don't know. I hope so. That's a very important consequence to leave to chance. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. How do you do that? You surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He does. He comes, lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. That's how simple it is. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I need to be. And I want to get back on track with God. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I am going to ask you to slip up your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. If either one of those apply to you, today is a new day. Thank you. Hands are already going up. Anybody else? Today is a new day. Fresh start. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you need to get back on track. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.